I appreciate your hard work and the blessing that you are to this church. Well, we were talking about last week, we were talking about bringing some messages on fasting. Thank you, Tom. And so it's good that you came back. Sometimes I wonder, if I should have said anything. We're going to look at our challenge verses first, and then I asked you last week to give some goals, maybe think about some goals, some spiritual goals in your own personal life this next year. And so I've got a microphone with me to take to you. If you have those spiritual goals that you want to share with us, because I want everybody in the Zoom world to hear as well. And if those of you on Zoom want to share with us, then I welcome you and invite you to do that as well. So let's look at our challenge verses. These are two easy verses, and I didn't choose them because they're easy. I chose them because they've got so much power in them. And so the first one is found in the book of Luke, verses 6 through 38. Did I put the wrong one up there? Do you have a Luke, Paul? No. So, is that this week's or last week's? Okay. Paul, look and see if there's a different file in there. There you go. But I think you may have last week's. Or it could be I'm computer illiterate. When it asked me if I wanted to change, I said yes. So I clicked yes. And anyway, you got what you got today. All right. All right. So Luke 6:23 says, "Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be given unto your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I learned it in the King James Version, so I'm a little bit, haven't got it quite memorized in this version yet. So let's say that again, if you would. Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But don't you want that to happen in your life? Give, and it'll be given unto you. Okay? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall it be given unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, or the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So when you give, do you measure with a teaspoon or a shovel? I want to commend you, church, our international offering for the month of December was over $1,100. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much for your gifts. The second one is found in Psalm 27. We just sang it. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Okay, so say that with me. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's Psalm 27. So let me ask you a question. What's the name of the Lord your God? Yahweh? Adonai? The I Am, the Father, Creator, Jesus, the Healer, the Comforter. So God will become what you need Him to be in your time of distress, in your time of need. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself to different people at different times by different names because that's what they needed at the time. There may be a time this next year when you need God to reveal Himself to you in a way that maybe He has not needed to reveal Himself to you before. And you can trust in the name of the Lord your God. Good passage of Scripture to memorize. Psalm 20, verse 7. So, what are some of your spiritual goals this next year? Anybody want to share?
Yeah, so this year, it's much like every year. I look at myself and go, man, your prayer life is not what it needed to be. And again, this year, I'm thinking, I really want to get to a point where I'm entering into the throne room of God regularly and let Him transform me. Try to transform yourself, it don't work. I just want to,
that's right.
I want to enter into His presence and seek His face way more than I did this year.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Bunch of dittos. Okay, several dittos. Good, Tom. Kristen?
So this last year has already been a big growth for me in my spiritual development, but I want to continue to grow in that this year and seek the Lord more in prayer. I think that sometimes we look for solutions ourselves when the solution is in prayer.
Good. Great. Thank you, Kristen. Someone else.
Yeah, well, upon reflection of last year, I really feel like being in God's Word more is something that I would like to do. I think sometimes we depend way too much on our thoughts and feelings about when to act and not act and when to speak and not speak. And I think if we, all of us, but especially me, would depend more upon God's Word, knowing it better, that's my goal for this year, to be in His Word every day. And boy, did I ever fail miserably last year.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Sandra?
Well, for the past 47 weeks, I've been reading a chapter of the Bible every day.
Great.
So I want to continue that. And I've been reading what comes up randomly from a program, you know, the Holy Bible program. But I would like to find a way to systematically read the whole Bible, which I've never done.
All right. Fantastic. That would be awesome. Laura?
Well, I use the YouVersion, and I've read the Bible through 2 years in a row now, so it does work. But I have found that even that has become rote. You know, I do it every morning, and there's not enough focus on God. It's on getting it done. It's on meeting the goal. It's not on God. So
it's easy to do.
For this year, my goal is to focus on Him and what He wants me to do.
Great. Thank you, Laura.
I would agree with the reading through the Bible in a year. I think that's been going on for quite a while. But I have one that I read that has a devotional that really gives it. I love that. But anyway, we've been praying for God's direction for us more every day, and I think that's something that I want to continue, just that He would lead everything, because we don't always come up with the best plan.
Thank you, Miss Pam. Cheryl?
Mine's a little different in that we welcomed a little puppy into our home yesterday. That's why the girls aren't here. They want to love on that puppy. What I need to do more is to listen and be guided. The good Lord led me to this. Those girls have had such a rough year, a little kindergartner and a third grader, and they want to go to school. They just started. They went to school 3 days last year. 3 days. Anyway, so my goal is to ask and to listen a little better to how I'm guided. I wanted to bring joy into their lives. They've been through so much, and it's just everybody's happy. Everybody, except my two kitties. they're not sure about this new intruder, but, you know, they'll get used to her, and she's just a cute little girl. But anyway, I just want to, we are blessed. We are blessed, and I thank the Lord for guiding me to this decision.
Good.
It had been one that I had to work on because I can't really take care of a puppy, but they promised me they would, so we'll see.
All right. Okay, let's catch, go ahead.
We have a couple comments from Zoom. Susan Hargis says, I want to share that one of my goals is to open my heart and let God in. I was given some great advice at Christmas that was very meaningful to me. Pray more and worry less. Seems to be working. I am happy to have found my church family, and I am thankful for you all.
Good.
And Sandy West says, I want when people who look upon me to see the reflection of Christ.
Good, good. Thank you. Kelly Peterson.
Together in fellowship more. I've been on Zoom, which is very good, but to be here in the presence of the Lord is better.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Ron.
I'm going to get into the Word more and do what God wants me to do in my house, be ahead of the household and not rely on just you to teach me and my family. That I want to get in and study hard and become the leader of my house that God wants me to be.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ron.
So ours is we're going to interweave God into our lives as a family more and study the Word more as a family.
Amen.
I think for me, the last thing, the thing that keeps coming through my head, and you guys have heard me say this before, is Noah built a boat, and it didn't make sense when he built the boat. It made no sense. I think my resolution is to listen more to the Lord and be dependent on what he says, even if it doesn't make media sense, political sense, medical sense, whatever. It just to listen and obey and push forward despite any criticism that may ensue.
Amen. Anyone else? I got a ditto. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. Do you think it can be a spiritual goal to go fishing more? Amen. Matt says the disciples did it. Excuse me. Well, I want to go fishing more. Sometimes you can connect with people on a fishing bank more than you can in a church. So, I like to fish, but I like to impact people for the kingdom. And so, if I'm able to do that on a fishing bank or a fishing boat, then it's a win-win. Exactly. Sometimes we look at spiritual goals as connecting with God more, and I think that's real. That's a reality. But sometimes our spiritual goals can be connecting with other people more as well. And we're going to find that in the book of Isaiah when we get into that. That part of that fasting is being able to connect with, becoming sensitive not only to God, but sensitive to the needs of other people. It's pretty important. God is, did you know that God is concerned about your spiritual well-being and your physical well-being and your emotional well-being? Did you know that? Did you know that he's also concerned about other people's spiritual well-being, physical well-being, emotional well-being? Did you know that? Well, we're going to find and discover that part of the area of fasting is becoming sensitive, not only about our own spiritual walk and our physical problems, but also other people's spiritual walk and their physical problems as well. It's really exciting to me to be able to share this. I've been wanting to share this for quite some time, but I've been hesitant because, well, the timing wasn't right, but also I'm not sure how many people really want to hear it. But it doesn't matter. When the Lord says to, now's the time to deliver it, you deliver it whether you want to, whether anybody wants to hear it or not. Amen? Okay, but you're here today, and those that are on Zoom are here today because they want to hear it. Also, those who will be joining later through the recording on their website, they will be, they're wanting to hear it as well. There's some tremendous benefits, and we're going to get into that. I don't think we're going to have time to get into the purpose and the benefits today. Probably next week. This week, I want to tell you about how to do it. Because if you don't do it correctly, you can really, you know, you can damage yourself. And so I don't want you to do that. We're going to be talking about several different things regarding fasting. Today is kind of an introduction to fasting. And so one of the things that, how many of you think 2020 was a bad year? Okay? In some ways, in some regards it was. But in some regards it was a good year. So if we are in Matthew chapter 24, things are going to get worse and things are going to get better. Can they get worse and better at the same time? Yeah, they can. Looking back this past year, the California had 5 fires that were larger than any fire in history, recorded in history. The Gulf Coast had, I think, like 10 hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, which is a record-breaking season. I don't know what the rest of the world, and I don't know if their increase in natural disasters occurred or not, because everybody's just concerned about the COVID-19 and the focus there. But according to Matthew chapter 24, it talks about these natural disasters increasing and becoming more intense as the time of the Lord draws near. Like a lady in labor, her labor pains become more intense and they become closer together as the time draws near for the delivery of her child. That's the way Matthew 24 describes the end times. Before the end, that's exactly what's going to happen. Things are going to increase, become more intensified, and they're going to become closer together. So if we're in Matthew chapter 24, we're going to find that 21 is going to be worse in some ways than 2020. However, it should be a catalyst for us to draw closer to the Lord. And in so doing, it can be a wonderful time for the children of God. And the Lord would say this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your exceeding great reward. So we really have nothing to fear. Our greatest enemy is fear itself. And so we have to, if you are running in fear, it's going to be a detriment to your health, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I just encourage you, don't walk in fear. Be cautious, be wise, but not fearful. Okay? So this year, church, one of your goals is to not walk in fear. Okay? So, what is fasting? Derek Prince says, fasting is a discipline of abstaining from something good, like food, so we can concentrate on our spiritual lives and find satisfaction in God. It's a discipline. Fasting is a discipline. We don't like to think about discipline. Some of you have some physical goals you want to meet this year. Some of you want to. One of my physical goals is that I'm going to do 100 push-ups at least 3 or 4 times a week. Okay? That's a physical goal. It's a discipline that has to be placed in my life. Do I want to do push-ups? Not necessarily. Do I want to walk the way the doctor told me I need to walk? No, not necessarily. But it's a discipline that will be advantageous for me if I put it in practice. Okay? So fasting is a discipline. It's a Christian discipline. There are other religions that fast. Christianity is not the only religion that fasts. However, Christians are the only one who gets the benefit, or many benefits from it. Okay? So, we will talk about that more in a little while. Now, I also like the definition that Tim Chalice wrote in regards to fasting. It says, in fasting, you are withholding from yourself something you need, such as food, in order to pursue something you need even more, which is communion with God. I like that. So, your hunger for God becomes such that you're willing to forego your hunger for food in order to pursue Him. Do you remember that passage of Scripture that David penned, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you, oh God. And that's kind of where the fasting, it's like, God, I want to pursue you. You've got more for me than I'm experiencing at this time. And Lord, I want to be in your presence, and therefore I'm going to pursue you so that I can experience you in a way that I've never experienced you before. Saint Basil the Great. I like that name. Saint Basil the Great. From 330 to 379 said this, fasting gives birth to prophets, strengthens the powerful. Fasting makes lawgivers wise. Fasting is a good safeguard for the soul, steadfast companion for the body, a weapon for the valiant, and a gymnasium for the athlete. Fasting repels temptations, anoints unto piety, and is the comrade of watchfulness. In war it fights bravely, in peace it teaches stillness. Now, this is his homily on fasting. So, is fasting commanded for Christians? It's actually not commanded. It is suggested. It is assumed, perhaps, that we will do it, but it's not commanded. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 10, so Jesus assumes that, I'm sorry, 5 through 9, yeah, we'll just say 10. I don't know if I'll get that far. Anyway, it says, when you pray, so Jesus kind of assumed that his disciples would pray, right? He didn't say, you must pray. In other passages of Scripture, you know, it's always, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Jesus assumed his disciples would pray. He then tells us what not to do when we pray. And then he tells us how to do it correctly. So he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners and love for people to hear them when they're praying. Listen to me pray. I'm a good prayer. Listen to me. And so they'd get on a street corner and they would just pray and pray. And people go, wow, whew, he's a good prayer. Man, I wish I could pray like that. Gee whiz. Give me the gift of prayer so I can pray like that. The Scripture says that he kind of got his reward because everybody was just kind of like dumbfounded. Have you ever been dumbfounded by somebody's prayer? Yeah. And sometimes it makes you kind of like, I don't want to pray now. Because they had such a good prayer. It's become a better prayer. Yeah. So Jill was, and I'm saying repeating this because the people on Zoom can't hear you. Okay? And so Jill was saying that she wants to become a better prayer. So that the words will just flow and she doesn't have to stumble over her words, basically. Do you know what? God is more impressed with a humble heart and a prayer from the heart than he is over all the right words. I remember when I was in a youth group. That was a long time ago. Decades ago. When our teacher asked one of the students in the class to pray, and he prayed, and the teacher said, I didn't hear what you were saying. He said, I wasn't talking to you. And you know, sometimes when we pray and we're in a crowd, we think we've got to talk to them. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your closet, pray, and what the Father hears in secret, he will respond in secret. So I can just ask you this. Do you pray more when you're in public for people's ears or when you're in private for God's ears? There's nothing wrong with praying in public. We do it all the time, right? And you know, like on Tuesday evening when we come together, we're praying together, we're, you know, seeking the Lord together. But I don't think there's anyone there that said, looking around, say, man, I hope they hear my prayer. This is going to be a good prayer. Yeah, worked on it all week. I've written it out. I don't think anybody's doing that. I know they're not. He says, when you pray, don't do it like this, but when you pray, do it like this, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Talk to him. Don't talk to everybody else. And then in the same chapter, a little further down, Jesus evidently assumes that we're going to fast because in verse 16, he says, and when you fast, he's kind of assuming that that would be a part of our life. He says, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that's the only reward they're going to get. I tell you what, if I'm going to go to the trouble of fasting, you know, it's okay if somebody knows, but don't just kind of like, hey, I'm fasting today. And these guys, these hypocrites, they would put on like sackcloth and ashes on their head and so people could see that they're fasting. Look how spiritual I am. Man, that guy is spiritual. He's wore them same clothes for 4 days. You know, the Muslims fast. They call it the fast of Ramadan. They fast from morning till evening. They will pig out before the sun comes up, and they'll pig out when the sun goes down. But they won't eat anything or drink anything when the sun is up during the whole month of Ramadan. You know, there's some people, and did you know the Muslims pray 3 times a day? They pray more than most Christians do. The problem is, their God don't hear their prayers. The problem is, their God doesn't see their fasts. And I know that may disturb some of you, that other people's gods don't hear them or see them. But Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the only intercessor between us and God. Now, there are some who will pray to demons. Do you think demons hear the prayers of those who are praying to them? They do. And the demons may answer their prayers. However, eventually, it's going to turn for their demise, not for their good. Because the Scripture says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's just, and you know, and I've known people who've made friends with demons and the demons meet their needs, but eventually what takes place is those same demons try to kill them and entice them to kill themselves. And those kind of things. Because the enemy does not come to do you good. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So just make sure who you're praying to and who you're fasting for. Okay? So, fasting is not done to show how religious we are. Fasting is not done to show how spiritual we are. It's not for show. fasting is not done for selfish reasons. Okay? And a lot of times people go into fasting because they need something from God. So therefore, I'm going to, have you ever heard anybody say, I'm going to fast until God answers my prayer? Guess what? You can't force God to do anything. I remember a passage of scripture. There was a bunch of Jews who did not like Paul. And they said, we're going to fast until we kill him. Guess what? God protected him. I'm sure they got over their fast pretty quick. And you can try to manipulate God, but that's not what fasting is for. And a lot of people try to use fasting for manipulation, but God won't be manipulated because he knows what's in the heart. And if he chose to bend to your manipulation, then he would no longer be God. You would be. Now, I will just say this. Fasting will not get you to heaven. If you do it incorrectly, you might get there sooner than later. But fasting is not going to get you. It won't make you saved. Only Jesus can do that. Okay? And when you fast, not many people have ever gone over 40 days. Over 40 days and your body starts dying. Unless you're on a supernatural fast. It seems that Moses, if you read there in the book of Exodus, he went up on the mountain and he fasted 40 days. He came back off the mountain and decided to go back on the mountain and fasted 40 more days. And I don't know that he ate in between those two periods. I would not suggest you do that unless the Lord is with you. And you know it's from him. Don't ever go through over 3 days without water. Okay? Your body will start dying. Unless it's a supernatural fast and God is with you in that. Esther, you remember the book of Esther. The people surrounding them, Haman and his cohorts, wanted to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai, Esther's cousin, whom she grew up with, told her, said, perhaps God has chosen you for this. This perhaps is the whole reason God created you, is for this season in your life. You need to go before the king. And you need to plead for your people. And she said, I'm not going to do it unless you and my people fast from food and water for 3 days. And so they did. Fasting from water is very, very difficult. I would suggest when you fast that you fast food, but not water. Okay? Fast food, but not water, unless the Lord is with you and tells you differently. Fast food. I don't know that fast food is what he's talking about here. So let me just say, your body's not going to like it. Your body's not going to like it. You're going to get hungry. Some people experience headaches. Sometimes you may get nauseated and feel like you're going to throw up. Sometimes you may throw up. Okay? And it's a miserable time, but after about 3 days, those things kind of go away. Okay? So, just tell your body, get over it. Just get over it. My pursuit is God. My pursuit is His presence. Therefore, body, you need to come under subjection. Heard a fellow say one time his body gave him so much trouble with the nausea. The first day, the nausea and the headaches and the hunger pains. He told him the second day, body, you gave me so much trouble yesterday, I'm going to fast again today. So, I want to talk about different kinds of fasts. There's individual fasts, something that you choose to do on your own. There's also corporate fasts where other people join with you and we do it all together. Okay. Also, there's partial fasts and there's total fasts. Daniel, in the 10th chapter of Daniel, he has a 21-day fast. And if you read in there, he talks about a fast that he ate no pleasant food. So basically, he just had vegetables and water. Okay? For 21 days. But the Lord answered him miraculously during that time. Their total fast, like I said before, could be abstinence from food and water. It could be just abstinence from food. There's different lengths of fasts. There can be one-day fasts. There could be, if you're not used to fasting, I would encourage you to just maybe do a meal to start with. Okay? Just do a meal. And then next time, maybe do two meals. Then the next time, maybe you can do three meals. But kind of ease into it. Let your body know that, hey, body, we're moving into something different. And begin to practice a little bit at a time. I would not suggest that you just say, well, next week I'm going to fast without ever doing it before. Okay? So next week I want to talk about the purpose for and the benefits of fasting. And as I also said before, you will not get to heaven by fasting. That's not the purpose of it. Jesus Christ came for that purpose. And there's not a thing you can do except accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He has done everything necessary for salvation. All you can do is be obedient after you have received Him. There's a lot of... next week we're going to get in Isaiah chapter 58. And again, I would say that if you would, go ahead and through there into Isaiah 58 and discover some benefits of fasting. And we're going to talk about that more next week. Okay, I just wanted to kind of give you a starting place so that if you wanted to start, that you could do so. And then I was undecided about whether I should share the benefits with you, but after I share the benefits, you might want to get started and not be prepared because there's some tremendous benefits in regards to fasting. And so next week, we're going to talk about that. If you have questions, you can write them on your communication card. if you had some spiritual goals that you didn't announce, then please write them on your communication card too. And place them in the communication card box. Is there any questions? I know I don't normally do this. Yes, Kelly. Yes, thank you. Right. So Kelly asked, what about medications? Some people may be diabetic and unable to do those type fasts. There's something, and that's a great question. Before you fast, ask your doctor what is permissible for you. There are some other ways that you can fast other than food. If some of you need to fast social media, okay, some of you get out of the God zone quick by following social media. Some of you need to fast news. Okay, some of you need to just step back. Some of you may need to just fast TV. That can just consume you. All right, that just consumes you. Some of you need to step back. I remember years ago, just after I became a Christian, I realized that I had an addiction to TV. And it was taking up way more time than it should be. So I threw my TV in the dumpster. Because if it was there, I was going to watch it. Okay? It was many years before I got another TV. But when I got it, it did not have the hold on me that it once did. Okay? So, ask the Lord what you need to do, especially for those of you who cannot fast food. Ask Him what you need to do so that your pursuit of Him can become what you need it to be. Okay? Good question, Kelly. Any other questions? Yes, Sandra.
I was just going to say, Sandy printed up some of the memory verses. We need to do more of them, but these are like some memory verses.
Okay, so memory verses out here on the table as you leave. We're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm not sure what the Lord has spoken to you about, how He has spoken to you this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. But you realize that the Lord came for you and He gave His life for you so that you could have eternal life with Him, and you might want to receive Him today. Others of you, the Lord has been dealing with you about some other things, and you just say, you know, this year I'm going to get this right with Him. Whatever this is, I'm going to get it right with Him. Let me pray for you. Father, I come before you today and I want to thank you for making a way where we can draw near you in our heart, in our lives. God, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. And it's just amazing that you hear us when we pray. And God, that you bend your ear to hear us. What a wonderful God you are. Lord, I pray that now during this time, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be sensitive to you. And Lord, that we would be able to follow you and walk with you in new strength. In Jesus' name we pray.